Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are back to talk about part two, or at least our part two, of Mother of Learning.
Mm-hmm.
We've read up to chapter 19, and we've got a couple things to say before we talk about the book.
Yes,
multiple things. First, gonna give a heads up on our future plans, because after we're done with Mother of Learning, we are going to do one episode on a television show. So I'm giving you this heads up so that you can spend the next 2 weeks binging a TV show. We will be watching the full first season, at least that's what we're planning on doing, of the Three Body Problem TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in preparation for us reading the second book in the series. If you recall, we did the first book quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using this as a little refresher. Fair warning. You've got a couple weeks to watch some TV. That's your
homework.
Very difficult homework. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then let's see. Okay, so I do have a warm up, but okay. I want to do some personal news as well.
Okay.
Dan.
Luke, what's the personal news?
As you know, I defended my dissertation last week. Was it last week? Yeah, last week. So
we're Dr. Luke now.
So we're Dr. Luke now.
Amazing.
And it's very exciting. And now, folks, this is probably the smartest podcast that you're listening to.
It's definitely the most educated podcast, because you're talking to a couple of doctors here. All right. So
yeah, I shouldn't say not necessarily the smartest, but 100% doctor content.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's right. You're getting pure PhD content here now, folks.
Yes. Yes.
So get on the Patreon. Make sure you up your donations accordingly to match our level of education.
That's right. That's right. we do get a pay bump automatically.
That's
so
right.
Get on that. And the one thing that I want to say is every time I do a presentation,
mm-hmm.
the like overwhelming urge to start it by saying "Welcome back to Don't Got a Book Club" is very tough for me.
You're saying in your dissertation there was a moment where you were like, "Welcome, oh, hey everybody."
Whenever I like practice,
yeah,
I start thinking welcome back, and then I'm like, no.
Oh, that's incredible, Luke. That's
amazing. I do think that I usually get it out of my system in the practice rounds, but it's always there.
Man, that would have been great if the beginning of your dissertation had started "Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club," because so many questions at the end.
So I would have been incredibly rattled. but okay, that's homework and personal news. Let's get to my warm up.
Let's get to the warm up.
Movie time, Dan.
Oh, movie time. Okay, Luke, give us the movie time.
I actually double movie time because I watched both Wicked and Gladiator.
Whoa, you
over the break.
The marketing worked on Luke. They were pushing this, and Luke was like, yes, please. I'll go see both.
Yes, that's correct. It was great. I'll say this. Gladiator, very average.
Okay.
Wicked, incredible. Truly, truly so good.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it's good for them. They spent a lot of money clearly on it.
Yeah.
But okay.
I think we've said this before, I like a musical.
Oh yeah. Luke was into the Matilda musical a while ago for
Matilda
folks who remember.
Was very good.
Well,
incredible dancing, as we've discussed on the Matilda musical.
In my recollection, you said it wasn't a great film, but you really enjoyed a few of the dance numbers because they were super good.
That sounds more accurate. I kind of forgot.
Uh-huh.
But point is, I like a musical,
mm-hmm.
and Wicked was like the best musical I've ever seen.
Wow.
So if you're a fan of musicals, you gotta see it. Dan, what are you a musical person? I feel like we've had this discussion, but I forget.
I mean, I don't seek them out. I don't mind them.
Okay.
But I'm not like a inherent fan. Like if somebody gives me a rec, I'll go see it.
Okay.
Consider this your
rec.
Luke, here's the question for you. Did you see the original musical, or is this your first exposure to it?
This was actually my first exposure to it, but I went with my person who is a big fan and has seen the musical.
Gotcha. Okay. And what did your person think?
Rave reviews.
Wow. Okay.
Even better. I think even better, like singing and whatnot than the musical.
Wow. So what is it? Ariana.
Play, I should say.
Ariana Grande. Is that who's in it?
Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. So good.
Okay.
Ariana Grande. Obviously, we know as a singer, and also kind of as an actor. So good in this movie. So
wow.
Funny.
Wow.
Cynthia Erivo, best voice I've ever heard. So,
whoa.
Defying gravity was amazing.
Okay. Luke, everybody go see Wicked. I mean, I'm sure you've heard all over the airwaves because everybody who made Wicked wants you to go see it too. But now Luke is saying you should see it.
Listen, confidence. They're portraying confidence and everyone is thinking that it's just bluster. But no, it's correct.
Wow.
Go get your popcorn.
Okay.
And see it.
Okay. All right, Luke. Well, maybe I'll go see it.
I hope you do. Okay. That was kind of a crash course. I feel like we covered a lot of ground in a short amount of time. So are you ready for book talk?
Speaking of crash courses, Luke.
That's right. Okay, let's talk Mother of Learning, like I said, up to Chapter 19.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Luke, I'm an educator, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't want this to come off as sounding like I don't want to teach. I don't like teaching students because that's not the truth.
Okay. You enjoy teaching.
I enjoy teaching. But if I had a student who came up to me at the beginning of the semester and was like, hey, you got any real shit? Because I kind of already know all this basic baby bullshit. I would be like, fuck. I spent so long coming up with this curriculum. I don't have time, bud, for a whole new curriculum for you. I cannot do it. This is really disappointing to me because I wish I could. And this is really sad to me that I just can't do this for you. But I can't do this for you. Like, I have to teach the other 30 students who aren't at this level. Did you sign up for this course? Would be my first question. I'd be like, there's an advanced course right there. Go take that one.
Right.
And yeah. I feel like the teachers in this book are so nice that they're like coming up with a whole new curriculum for our boy, and I don't think he realizes what he is asking them to do when he is like, hey, this shit is easy. Can I get the hard stuff, please? And they're like, ah, fuck, I gotta, okay, hold on.
Right. Okay, so we have to come up with a way to figure out why teachers have enough time for this.
I think there's a couple of options.
Okay.
The first is these are established faculty. He is not talking to any first or second year faculty who are like literally writing exams the day before they give the exam. These right. people have taught these classes a lot.
Right. They've got their PowerPoint slides like down pat and don't need to change them.
Right. Right. Some of them have severe cases of what we would call tenuritis in the business.
Okay, sure. Could be. That's option one. What you have more, though?
Well, okay. Option two is... option two is this is all baby bullshit. Because I'm imagining, right, at the level I'm at, coming up with new curriculum takes a long time. But listen, if I'm teaching, like, algebra, and a student comes to me and is like, hey, give me the real shit. I'm like, oh, have you heard of calculus, my boy? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, but then you still have to, like, teach the calculus, though. I don't know why that would make it easier.
I feel like it's easier to come up with, like, a really hard problem.
Okay, okay, yes. Because, okay, this is what I was thinking.
Because this is what they do.
Because for you, when you're trying to come up with your classes and your exams, you're trying to do, like, correct pacing.
Yeah.
And, like, fair exam questions. And you're trying to, like, target people, everyone getting, like, or, like, the average being, you know, a C or something.
Yeah, just
about. But if you have him coming up saying this, you don't have to care at all about, like, if you're too ambitious or if the questions are too hard, right? So you can just be like, can you do this?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Which I feel like it takes is actually way faster.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When I don't have to, when you don't have to think about the consequences of if they don't get it right, it is way faster. You're 100% correct. Yeah. I will say, though, it can't be too difficult where it takes me a long time to confirm that the answer is correct. This starts to become the issue, is when I give, like, difficult problems to my students, if I'm not working from a textbook that has a key with it, sometimes that is giving me homework, like substantial homework, because I'm like, I have to solve this problem too to make sure that they did it right. And, like, I know how to do it, but it still takes time to, like, get the equation and plug them in and make sure I didn't make a mistake. And so I think the higher level you get, the more work you're creating for yourself to give them just, like, a super hard problem to solve.
Yes. Yes, this is true in a traditional class, but since his is often just like, can you do this spell?
Yeah.
Where it's like yes or no, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
With a little bit of variation in there that we see.
Right.
The examination part of it, I think, becomes a little bit easier.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. So it's more of like a trade school, is what you're saying. They're like, hey, can you show me how to do this weld?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that's a good comparison, I think.
Right, where it's like really easy to demonstrate. Okay, I shouldn't say it's easy. It's easy to validate the solution.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Okay, you want to hear mine? My other explanation? I think that one that we've just gone over is valid. My theory is that they have, for whatever reason, very little administrative work.
That's the dream, Luke. Oh, you're saying they've finally offloaded the worst part of teaching.
It seems, here's the problem, though, with this theory, because I forget her, Ilsa, is that her name? The main teacher that he's interacting with?
Not Elsa, Luke. It was Elsa.
That's right. She has a lot of administrative work.
Because she has to, like, physically go to the new students and, like, have them physically pick out from a scroll what their new classes are going to be? Is that what you mean, Luke?
That is what I mean. And it seems like she's doing almost everything.
It does seem like she's doing a lot. Yeah.
Because she is also, like, organizing the school dance or ball or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I get the sense that she's doing a lot of stuff. And maybe this comes back to the tenuritis idea, where all of the other professors are just making her, or like, you know,
she's like the one who cares the most, right? It's a race to see who cares the most about the students, because you have a power as a faculty member if you don't care, because if you're tenured, you could just not show to the committee appointments you've been assigned, or you can show but just sit there and not do anything. And it's the ones who actually care that end up being like, well, if you guys aren't gonna do this, like, I'll just do it, I guess.
Right.
Ooh, that's tough. But I think she's making her job hard, because why is she going in person to do all this administrative work?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hi, I'm here in person. Please just select from this list the classes you want to take. No! I'm doing this paper airplane trick that sounds rad as hell. I'm sending out a bunch of them from my office, and then it's got a little script in there that it will come back after you've circled three choices or whatever the fuck. Like, I'm not dealing with this. And also, you showed up to be like, hey, you only have one choice of mentor, so you don't have a choice, but pick one of these class. No, that's not. This is an email. This is a meeting that could have been an email.
Right. It does seem very fixable. Like, I realize that they don't actually have email, but send a letter for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. They can teleport whole people. They can certainly teleport pieces of paper.
Yeah. It's also crazy. We don't have to get into this one, but like that they do this on a just like, who am I getting to first? Basis.
Oh, it's insane, dude. It's insane. What? How does it? Why does it work this way?
Pretty brutal. Pretty brutal. But yeah, that's my third theory, that all the other professors just don't have any administrative work. So they're like, oh yeah, I'll teach you.
They're what like, else am I doing? They've been coming up with these problems for years, and then finally they're like, oh sure, I got one. I got one locked and loaded.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is kind of interesting how in this book especially, all of the professors are very passionate.
Yes. Well, I mean, his mentor, I can't tell if he's passionate or if he's just sort of an asshole, I'll say.
A big poopy face? Yeah.
A big doo-doo face, yeah.
Yeah.
Because Luke, we don't need to get into any specifics here, but he reminds me of a professor that I have had and you have had.
Yes,
in some ways.
I'm familiar.
Like, he feels familiar to me, and I don't like him. But maybe that's passion. Maybe we're going to see a little Mr. Miyagi at the end. Who knows?
I still am on the Mr. Miyagi train. Now, I do have a note about this professor and this mentoring thing. We already talked about, like, it. Criticize the professor more. How are we pronouncing his name? Zvim or something?
Zim sounds fine.
It's X-V-I-M. I'm gonna, Zvim. That sounds fine.
Yeah. Zvim.
I do feel like, so he's basically having 1 to 2 meetings with him per refresh, I think.
Yeah.
And like, I realized that he is like very curt with him. The professor is very curt with Zorian.
Yeah.
And like just tells him to sit down and do the thing. I feel like Zorian at some point needs to just like try to talk to him. To like ask questions.
Right. Right. Instead of just like trying to struggle with it without asking anything. Like trying to take ownership and be like, hey, help. How do I do this? Or what should I be thinking about? Or
I still think that the professor is the one in the wrong, obviously, because he's doing this in a terrible way.
Yeah.
But in a like cycle where you can do whatever you want without really consequences and you don't have to worry about making him mad, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I would try to be like, hey, dude, what the fuck are you doing at some point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I feel like you're a lot more generous with the situation because once I realized I was cycling, like maybe the fourth or the fifth time, I am just fucking with this guy. Like I'm not trying to do his tricks. I'm just fucking with him. I'm just like, how can I fuck with this guy as much as possible? Like, I'm learning his password to his, like, wizard email or whatever. And Or I'm like finding his diary at one cycle and then just like reading quotes from it and mocking him. Or like I don't know. I feel like I'm not doing his weird training. I'm just fucking with him because he's an asshole and I'm just going to fuck with him.
Yeah, Zorian's kind of in a weird spot where he simultaneously doesn't care about impressing him, but also still does.
Yeah, he still does the thing. Especially,
and like at some point, you just got to throw the marbles back at him.
Right. Or you have this amazing, miraculous power that nobody thinks is possible, and you have encountered somebody who seems unflappable. Like, you have yet to be able to impress this person.
Right. There's been no flapping.
It's your time. This is your moment to shine and just be like, I'm going to show you something so amazing that if you refuse to get excited about it, you're just like doing that on purpose. Like, you're just intentionally being an asshole. Ugh.
Right. I do appreciate that there are some moments in this section of the book that like hint at Zorian starting to get a little bit of self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of him being kind of a, I don't know if jerk is the right word, because I don't know. Do you know what I'm talking about though?
Yeah. Where he's now realizing that his sister like just wants his attention and is kind of cool, and maybe everyone's not a huge pain in the ass to be around.
Yeah, I think there's, I don't think that we're at the full self-realization yet, but, okay, I think that Zorian is very self-absorbed.
Yes, for sure.
And there's a few times where it's starting to break through that he should change that. And I appreciate the self-awareness on the, like, the author's part as well, because as I was reading this, I was like, okay, Zorian's the main character, am I supposed to really like him? Because I don't right now.
Yes. Well, I mean, this ties perfectly, Luke, into the kind of leveling that I've really wanted to see from Zorian, which is personality leveling. And I think he's doing that. It feels like we're getting some level ups here in our personality. We're like, we're talking to people we actually like. We're making friends. We're, you know, talking to our sister and finding common cause against an abusive matriarch, and like,
right,
we're getting some of these personality level ups that I was hoping for in Act One, because I agree with you, he kind of sucked at the beginning in a major way.
Okay, here's the question though, because I agree that he's had a few of these times where he's like made friends, and you know, his sister, this other like exchange student kind of guy.
Yeah.
The problem is, I'm not sure if I believe that it's actually personality leveling up versus just like getting reps in. And like sometimes it's going to happen.
Okay. Interesting. You're saying,
like, I don't know if he's taking the lesson here and going to use it in a different relationship that he has.
Okay. I think there's a couple of pieces here. The first is, I think he is self-aware with, like, about his sister. Like, he seems to have internal monologue that's like, oh, I didn't even realize that she was doing this for this reason. Like he seems to be aware of the fact that his old behavior was cringe. And that feels like self-awareness to me. At the very least, he seems to be embarrassed about his old behavior. He seems to be like, oh yeah, they wouldn't have expected me to do any of this before. And that's bad. I probably should be doing these things. I do think there is a component of getting reps in, though. And I think this is important to acknowledge, that his situation with his family was pretty fucked up at the beginning. Like, before he'd done all these cycles. And I think he's become a little bit desensitized to the shitty parts of his family. And that's sort of, like, the only way he could do that, I think, was just reps. Just going in the gym and putting in reps and cycling over and over and being like, yeah, I don't give a fuck if my mom is, like, super critical, because she's always going to be critical no matter what I do. And he acknowledges that. He's like, yeah, I've tried over and over and over again to be perfect for her, and I can't do it, so fuck it, I'm gonna just do my best. And so I think it took that it took that hard repetition, it took those hard reps for him to be able to grow in this way. So I think it's a combo.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
I alternative theory, Luke. He is soul bonded to Zach.
Ooh.
And Zach's personality is just a lot more outgoing. And Zorian keeps being like, I don't feel any different. And I'm like, Zorian, you're making friends. And like, what do you mean? You're not annoyed that everyone is coming to talk to you.
Right.
You're changing, bud.
Yeah. I don't... It's very tough to tell because, I mean, we don't know as readers, like, how significant the personality shift in a soul-bonded situation is.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I do think that the one that Zorian is experiencing is subtle enough and slow enough to be more of a... more organic, though.
Right. Right. So... it's either reps or he's juicing with Zach's personality, right?
Right. Right. Either way, it's good progress.
It's growth. It's growth. It's growth. What I wanted. I'll say that.
Yeah. I do want to say something about his sister.
Uh-huh.
And that is him taking his sister to school for like the semester on same day notice.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. This is silly. Who would ever agree to this? This is not good.
I mean, from every person's perspective in this, it's insane. From his, because like, oh, now I have to find an apartment for tonight.
Yeah.
From his mom's, where it's like, all right, I don't know. How old is his sister?
Nine, I think.
I forget if they said it. What did you say?
I think she's 9.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right to me. 9, like, hear 9-year-old go hang out with your 15-year-old brother in a like city a few hours away. I hope it goes well.
Sorry. And not just like hang out with your older brother's going to be at school most of the time. So just like, I don't know, manage your own business, deal with it. Go to the library, I guess.
And then they like negotiate on how much money he asked. Like, what?
which is clearly too little as well. Because the other part, which is insane, is they find a place, but they have to share a bed?
Right.
No, no, no. I'm not doing that. I'm not sharing a bed with my 9-year-old sister. Like... we're getting separate rooms, okay? I'm paying for a separate room.
Right. It's crazy, especially because they're like a rich family.
Yeah.
What is going on?
With this? Okay. There's a couple of options here. I think yes, they're rich. They clearly don't care about the girl though, right?
Yes. I mean, like, we learn later that they're not going to have her go to school and stuff like that.
Yeah, which too bad. You just sent her to school. So joke's on you.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. I think, I don't know. Like, I can't tell if, so maybe they just couldn't find an apartment that short notice, right? Maybe this is the only thing available short notice. But with enough money... with enough money, guys, there's no such thing as short notice.
Yeah. I mean, this was also just like he mentions it with Ilsa and she's like, oh, I have the perfect one for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they didn't even really look beyond that.
Right. Right.
They didn't even browse Craigslist.
Well, I don't know if you want to go there.
Well, yeah. But... yeah, I guess they just, I guess the parents just don't care.
Yeah.
About I think both of them, honestly.
Either that, Luke, or the whole economics of this place are messed up. Okay. And I want to present a little bit of evidence for this.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so Zach, we finally learn what Zach's been going off to do. He slays a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
He slays a dragon that has been terrorizing a region of this magic continent, like place where there are mages and wizards and things. This dragon has been terrorizing it for like 100 years.
Right.
Okay, so hold on, Luke. I just want you to think about a dragon that is powerful enough to terrorize a big region of this like pretty powerful nation for 100 years. We've had huge important mages come and go. An army, quote unquote, an army went to go take him out and they couldn't do it. Now, Luke, what do dragons do? Well, they collect gold. They collect hordes of jewels, right? So we have an incredibly powerful old dragon in a powerful region who has collected jewels for like 100 years. And the value of this dragon hoard is considered minuscule compared to Zach's family wealth. What's going on with the economy of this place? Right? Does this seem odd to you? Do the numbers seem off?
They do seem a little off. I hadn't considered this.
It means
the hoard should be big. The hoard should be way big.
If we just compare sheer numbers, Luke, these people are extracting more wealth than a terrorizing dragon.
By a lot.
By a significant amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay. He's the last one. It's not like he has some like wealthy father who's investing or building a business or like selling magical artifacts. It is him and him alone.
Right. He's just living off the interest at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's my answer for the dragon.
Yeah.
Horde being too small. After the dragon, they were like, we can't defeat this dragon. Let's just go off the gold standard.
They just took away its power, is what you're saying.
They're like, we're no longer attaching wealth to shiny objects anymore. Because we cannot defeat the dragon. And we need an economy.
And the dragon has not learned how to trade stocks yet. So I think we're safe.
Right. But level... Thankfully... Zach, maybe this is why Zach made such a big deal about killing the dragon, because it was just starting to learn that it needs to plunder the financial markets, and it was just learning about crypto.
Oh no. Oh no. So Zach was doing us a service then.
That's right.
Well, Zach was protecting his own family wealth because he was like, I don't want inflation to go crazy.
Yeah. But no, I guess the families are super, super rich. So the other thing is, I forget if we talked about this last episode, but is magic, can everyone do magic?
Okay.
And they just like don't have the means to train for it?
This is what it seems like to me because...
Which I think that's consistent with the idea that the magical families are like way richer than everyone else.
Okay, so I think this is true, but there's also people in the school that are like first generation mages or like children of first generation mages, which that to me speaks to the fact that maybe there is like a dual component to this where some people are more naturally inclined to be able to do magic.
Yeah, that's actually confirmed because people have different like mana pools.
And so I feel like it's a dual sort of thing because Zorian's sister is never like, I hope I'm, you know, magic capable or whatever.
Yeah.
She's just like, I hope I get to go to the magic school and learn magic. Which I don't know if this is the case, Luke. I don't need to go to the best magic school.
Right.
I'm going to learn from just like any guy to do just a little magic.
I mean, Zorian's mostly learning from books.
This is so true. How come everybody isn't doing magic? Wait, hold on.
I mean, if we're gonna get to the like the class differences stuff as we were leaning towards.
Yeah.
It could just be access to the books.
Right. It could also be that this society is so stratified that the working class have no time to read or practice magic.
Right.
Because they're constantly running around, like, growing wheat or whatever.
Right. We gotta get either a wealth tax going, or we gotta start applying some of these magic abilities to, like, lessen the workload on regular people.
Luke, if only.
If only.
I think it's much cooler if we have, like, a handful of people that control all of the technology and get to just dictate policy. Like,
that is cool.
I think it's way cooler that way. It's sort of like Iron Man, you know, or like superheroes, where we just have a handful of people to solve all our problems, regardless of what we want the solution to be.
Right.
So I think that's cool. I think it's cool and good.
That's usually a better system, I think.
Yep. Anyway, I think, okay, I want to go back to Zorian for a second. Can we go back to Zorian's personality?
Sure, yeah.
I think he still has a little bit of work to do.
Of course, yeah, for sure.
Because he gets to learn divination from, I think, one of the coolest guys ever to learn from.
Oh, the, like, grizzled detective guy?
The fucking detective who's like, hey, kid, come on, let's go in the tavern to give you your first lesson. And Zorian's like, oh, this guy doesn't take his job seriously. And I'm like, dude, he's inviting you to, like, chill and have a beer with him while he tells you about some cool detective shit. This is rad as hell.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Yeah. Like, I feel like this is an amazing opportunity that Zorian's like, oh, this guy's gonna be a pain.
So, yeah, okay, this is very, very Zorian. Because I feel like even the normal kid who is kind of self-absorbed in this way is still into and, like, interested in being mentored by cool older guys.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But I think Zorian uniquely is like, everybody is not as useful to me as they should be.
This is true. This is true. He feels like he is just too good for almost everyone.
At least that's his like initial impression, right? Like, he warms up to him.
Yes. Yes.
But, like, your initial impression is important.
Right. Right. This feels like a big hurdle to me that Zorian really needs to get over, because this first meeting sounds so, because I'm trying to put myself in his position. And when I was, like, an undergrad in college, if my professor had been like, hey, let's have class at the pub today.
Yeah.
And it was like a cool lesson about something fun. I would have been like, this is sick as hell. I feel like an adult. I feel like a big grown up.
I know.
And I'll say from experience, students love that shit. Every single student I've ever had, if we're meeting somewhere else, or if I'm like, hey, let's meet at the pub to talk about. Let's meet at the brewery, all my seniors. Hey, all my seniors, let's meet at the brewery to talk about our last day of class. Come on. They're like hype.
Yes, yes. And I mean, even beyond that, I mean, okay, so they next have another meeting in a pub, and it's like a practical, like, lesson type thing, which is even cooler.
Yes.
Now, this, I think, happened, like, I think Zorian had warmed up to him at this point. So I don't know if the point still stands, but yeah, it sounds really cool. Here's the thing that I want to get into about this. We learn later that Zorian has these, like, empathetic abilities.
Yes.
That allow him to, I think his, like, landlady says that he can get, like, senses of people.
Mm-hmm.
Just from, like, being near them, right? And, like,
right,
he can check their vibes, basically.
yeah,
right. And he says that this is that he can do, like, he has this kind of feeling, and he just assumed that everyone did. But here's my analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he is getting more data than other people.
Oh, okay, wait.
But I don't know. I'm not sure if the empathetic abilities extends to analyzing that data correctly.
I see what you're saying.
Because, well, like, I think that he has a lot of first impressions of people that are wrong.
100%. 100%. But I think, Luke, that's where the training comes in. Right?
Okay.
Because I agree. He's able to get more data than other people, right? He can see an extra, like, 13 colors or whatever. But if you ask him to mix three colors together to recreate a color, he doesn't have the training to know how to do that. He just knows he can see the color, but he doesn't know what the color means. And it's the same thing. He can, like, get the vibes, but he doesn't know what the vibes mean. Right. So that's why he needs some, he needs the spider training really pretty badly.
Well, I think that, okay, so yes, he needs the spider training. I think that, as we've been saying a couple times, is he needs, if he's going to use these powers, like, social training.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because, like, he, when he starts to learn that he has these powers, he's initially like, there's no way, because I'm not a social person.
Yes.
And I think this is borne out not in the way that he thinks it's going to be, which is just that he, like, cannot sense people, because he can sense people. Mm-hmm. It's just that he does not know how to read people. And so he's just, like, coming to completely opposite conclusions. So he needs someone to teach him, like, if this person is giving off this vibe, this is what it means.
Right. He needs Zach to come back, is what he needs.
Yes. Yes. This is what I, this is what I think.
Because, yeah, Zach can totally do this. Well, I mean, this is, that's our, in our next section. So maybe Zach's going to be like, you got to be cool. He's going to give him cool classes like they do in all the movies.
That'd be nice.
He's going to be like, take your glasses off. Wow, you look cool now.
Yeah. I'd love to see that, for one thing. I do have a note that's kind of on this, which is, so Zach comes back and Zorian tries to convince him that he's normal, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, my note is a little bit more general than this, but it's too much, it's too much suspicion all around on Zorian's part.
I'll say also, but not enough on some people.
Okay, yes, that could be true. I just, like, I don't know, I feel like there's not enough exploration. It just, everything that Zorian does is, like, way too cautious in my mind. And I realized that in his mind, he has, like, infinite amount of time and it doesn't really matter. And so why, you might as well be cautious. But I don't think that that's true. And I also think that you just miss a bunch of opportunities for this. So, like, he just delays everything. And, like, yes, so far it's probably been fine, but, like, he delays his meeting, his next meeting with the spider person, for, like, several restarts so that he can do all of this analysis.
Yeah.
He delays, so far at least, like, telling Zach. And it just, I just think that you're missing tons of opportunities because of this.
Okay,
and it's
Luke,
not necessarily the right move.
I disagree with you here. Because in the infinite time limit, you're missing no opportunities.
Yes, but I don't think the time limit is, the time loop is infinite.
Okay, but if you take too many risks, the time loop could shorten dramatically, right? And I think that some of these are sort of irreversible. Like this memory thing that's been implanted.
Mm-hmm.
This is irreversible if he goes and actually shares it with the spider.
Is it? I'm not sure how it works, actually.
Okay, so it's a little memory packet so that the spider can, like, access some of their memories from a previous loop. And I think when I say it's irreversible, imagine, like, I'm trying to put myself in the spider's position. I've implanted a little memory packet in this boy, and I can tell, maybe I can verify 100% that it was me. I did put it in this boy, and it, like, it tells me that this boy is doing what I think he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I also put a little secret code in the memory packet that was like, and now make this boy go completely under my control. And I'm going to give him his next instruction for when he recreate, for when he respawns.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
doesn't he, like, do the, research to know that that's like extremely unlikely, if not impossible.
Yeah, but maybe the memory code is just like, oh, I should capture this boy and figure out how to do something more to him.
Right.
So
okay, I agree with you that like there is risk associated.
Yeah.
I just think that you got to take risks.
I think the thing with Zach is even more risky though.
Okay.
Because as soon as he tells Zach what's going on, you can't unring that bell.
Yes, I realized that because Zach is also in the time loop.
So as soon as Zach knows, then it's like that forever, potentially. And if that's not a good thing, if Zach is maybe evil in some way you didn't anticipate, you've kind of screwed yourself a little bit. Like maybe Zach doesn't like this whole soul merging thing and figures that the best way to solve it is just to kill Zorian.
Right. Yes, but I mean, the thing is, Zorian doesn't know anything about the time loop, really.
Okay, yeah, fair.
And so I think there's an argument that getting out of the time loop, it should be a priority.
Well, maybe, Luke. Because it is cool, right?
I mean, to a degree, like, I still think that there's not a huge advantage to doing this over just, like, training normally, though.
He's not... Whoa. He's been given, like, a free year, right?
What do you mean a free year? Because you could do this at any point.
Yeah, but he's not aging.
Yeah, but, like, that's fine.
Luke, if somebody came up to you and was like, hey, would you rather have one extra year of life where there are no consequences or a normal year of life and it's just normal, just adds on to your normal regularly scheduled program. You're not going to give me the extra one. It sounds cool.
Okay, the extra one, yes, but that's because of like fun activities.
You're saying he's not doing enough fun activities? He's just training?
I'm not going to be like, oh, give me the extra year so that I can read all the literature that I've been missing out on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Okay, I see. You're saying he's not doing enough fun just yet, but he doesn't understand how it works, right? And you did clarify at the beginning to cut him a little bit of slack here, which I think is fair.
So, okay. Now, that's not necessarily my primary argument that he should be getting out of the time loop, because like I agree that if you're in the time loop, it's like, okay, this is good. I'm benefiting from this. I would have a little bit of anxiety in the back of my hand being where I'm like, I don't know what's happening really. But
right.
You also just like, you don't know when it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's going to happen when it ends.
Yep.
And like, I realize that theoretically it could be infinite, but I would not be banking on that. And so I'd be like, I really need to figure this stuff out and not put it off for like 10 resets to take my next step because I don't feel like I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I think there's a real cost to that. And even though we haven't seen it happen yet, because we haven't gotten anything happening with the restarts, like at any point.
Yeah. Yeah.
The time loop could be done and you would just like miss out on whatever crazy training that these spiders are going to take you on. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. See the difference. What I'm uncovering, Luke, here is the difference is you're Zorian and I'm Zach.
I was thinking the opposite.
Oh no. Yeah. You're totally right. You're totally right. I'm Zorian and you're Zach. That's
okay.
It.
Yes.
Yeah. Where I'm like taking my time. I don't want to mess this thing up. I'm being really, really careful. And you're like, I got to slay a dragon today.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Luke. I'll tell you what. I do think Zach has more fun.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, Zach has been in it for like 10 years, to be fair.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I think Zorian's getting more out of it when the loop finally closes.
Yeah, you don't think he's going to burn out, though? I feel like he might burn out.
Ooh, that's tough. Well, he can just take a few cycles to chill.
Yeah, but maybe that's what Zach does.
Oh, maybe we're in the chill Zach cycles? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well,
well, I mean, I don't know if I would consider Zach consistently going after a dragon as a chill.
Yeah, that's... But, well, maybe it wasn't that hard.
I think... Here's what I think, actually.
Okay.
The difference is more that... Again, I'm more like Zach, because Zach thinks that this could end at any time.
Uh-huh.
And so he's going for, like, short-term, like, training. Even though he's been doing it for, like, 10 years, right? He's all going, like, combat.
Yeah.
I got to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Whereas yeah. Zorian thinks that this is, like, going to be a much longer stint. So he's building a very strong foundation.
Yes. 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 Which is exactly what I'm doing. I'm out here, like...
And I do agree. Yeah. I do think that if Zorian is correct and he has like a whole, like, I don't know, 15 years in this time loop, then his approach is better.
Yeah. Better investments here. Mm-hmm.
Man. Okay. Okay. Speaking of Zorian taking really long to do things.
Yeah.
I cannot believe it took him this long to do the sewer quest.
Oh, I know.
I feel like at the beginning it was like, okay, you saw in the first, a weird little rat thing, and then you got an NPC to give you a sewer quest, and it's been like 30 resets since you even thought about doing it.
The craziest
clearly this is part of the invasion also.
Yeah, obviously. They came from underground, you idiot.
You gotta get in the sewers.
Oh my god. And, Luke, this NPC offers you the quest every single reset. And you've been saying no for like the past 30 reloads of the game. It's like clearly there's a mini boss down there, guy. And a cool weapon, like a rad sword or something.
Obviously, you need this step. It's like you do this quest to get the thing that you need to beat the next boss.
Right, the key is down there. That's why the NPC keeps being like, hey, are you sure you don't want to come on this sewer quest?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you're running around like, where's the key? Where's the key? I gotta go find the necromancer to slay the evil in the world. And the sewer lady is like, hey, have you tried the sewers? I hear there's a key down there.
Again, you gotta get in the sewers. Always.
Luke, okay, he takes too long to do the sewer quest.
Mm-hmm.
He takes no time at all to trust weird necromancer guy.
Oh yeah,
he lives with him for like 2 weeks and it decides, you know what, I'm gonna tell him about this soul time travel thing I'm doing.
Yeah,
what? Check first, bud. You need to like do a background check.
Yeah. This one is a weird blind spot, actually. I feel like it's because this guy's also kind of a loner.
Yeah, but that's not a good sign. That's a red flag.
I know.
And like, hey, maybe ask him how his whole, why he is caring for a small child and where they're family is, and maybe check on his story a little bit first.
Right. He seems very sincere though.
Oh, sure. He sounded good.
And you know what? Zorian always has pretty good first impressions on people.
Oh yeah, he immediately knows the vibe. Oh my gosh, Luke. I just can't. And especially after he reveals himself to be a necromancer.
Yeah.
It's like, "Oh, run, guy." That's when you need to be like, I'm out of here. Because the lich was the one that was like causing big problems. I don't know.
Yeah.
Alarm bells. Big alarm bells going off.
It does feel like he did trust the strangest person to trust.
Right.
And I mean, so far so good.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's only been one reset, so.
Yeah.
That he's done this.
Luke, I also get the sense that he's not investigating this properly. And granted, he's not really like a trained detective, so I'm going to give him a bit of a pass here. But in one of his early resets, he told one of his professors, like, hey, there's going to be an attack. And then, like, immediately got stabbed.
Yeah.
That is, like, your opportunity to try and work out who is evil. You just have to be like, you just have to tell that to different people and be like, did I die? No, I did not.
Right.
Like, you can build the web up from just, like, telling them that you know and seeing if they murder you immediately.
Yeah. There's a lot of investigating that he doesn't do.
Well, and I think we're going to see it with this detective, where he's just told the detective the deal.
Right.
And so
But I think didn't... Hasn't that one already ended?
That cycle, yeah.
The detective didn't do anything about it?
Yeah. The detective sort of investigated it, but it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. But he didn't get stabbed.
That's true. That's true. You can trust the detective, I guess, is what you're
That's
saying.
That's one.
There you go. Okay. I also think it's like, I get his desire to not be in the city during the invasion.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, you can get a lot of information, right?
Yeah, but it hurts, Luke. It's kind of painful.
Yeah.
And you might not even get very much info, right? If you just get eaten by a bunch of wolves because you're trying to watch from a high up vantage, and I don't know. I feel like it's... I agree with you. If you're trying to get intel, you need to be in the city. But I also am like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't really want to do
that.
I mean,
I realize this. And I do understand that there's like the pain associated with it. This is so funny because this is very much a like Zach versus Sorian perspective thing.
Yeah.
Where Zach is like, oh yeah, like getting experience in life or death fights is actually probably really valuable.
Right.
And Zorian obviously does not have that mindset, which is fair because it sounds unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It seems like Zorian has taken very little responsibility for helping with the invasion, I think maybe is my qualm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he should, though. Like, why?
I mean, he's, like, going in, he doesn't have responsibility for it because he's a kid.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like if you were in a situation where you knew that this was going to happen, you would just be like, okay, I have to do something to help, right?
Yeah, but like, what does that even mean? Because you're gonna just reset. Like, did you actually help
on the final one? I guess on the one where the resets stop.
Okay. Well, what? How is he gonna know? When of course on that one he's gotta help. But and I guess I could see your point of like, you could be training up until that point to be able to help as good as possible. But I also feel like Luke. This is probably going to be a theory coming through, but I don't know if it's a big one because I think Zorian has mentioned it already. I think somebody on their side is also looping.
Yeah.
Because they seem to be predictive about the future in a weird way.
Right. Like when Zorian counters in some way, there's another counter to his thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And Zach sort of mentions to him, like, I try everything in this thing and it doesn't really affect the outcome.
Right.
So if I'm Zorian, I've only been doing this for like a year. What am I going to be trying that's really going to affect the outcome in a meaningful way?
Fair.
So I can get his perspective. I can also see where you're coming from, Luke, but if I'm Zorian, I'm like not feeling super hopeful I'm going to be able to do anything.
Here's my thing. I would be so frustrated. Not necessarily at the inability to fix it, but to not know why it's happening, right? Because he always resets right at, like, I don't know if it's midnight or something similar. And so, like, he knows that there's a big invasion that, like, is successful.
Yeah.
But he doesn't ever get to learn who's doing it or why.
Yeah.
And so I feel like my strategy would be more about learning the answer to those two questions than actually stopping it, because I would be losing my mind.
Right, right. Like, you're going to capture one of those war trolls and be like, who are you working for?
Yeah, exactly. That's my approach for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's crazy that Zach hasn't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
Because it seems like Zach doesn't really know, and he's been doing this for 17 years. All you have to do is just go down in the tunnels deep enough to be like, all right, there they are. What are you guys doing? Like, why are you guys here? What are we up to?
Come on, fellas.
Fellas. Let's be real. Anyway. Luke, now that we are both doctors, we do have to end this episode, I think, with a little bit of highfalutin talk here.
Okay.
So when Zorian goes to the tavern, his new detective buddy is like, hey, I've got this spell. It turns ethanol into sugar. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's like, most of the time when we do alterations, we can't work on like organic molecules because they're too complicated, but these are pretty simple, so we can do it. Mm-hmm. Y'all, you need an organic chemistry class, or at least you need to have paid attention in organic chemistry, guys. Because like, it's just like a dehydration reaction that you're doing, right?
Yeah, I mean, we go from glucose to ethanol to make alcohol, so.
Right.
So it seems feasible to go the other way. Yeah.
And like, this, you could do chemistry with magic?
I see where you're going with
this. This is what I mean. Is I'm like, if you know the reaction, you can just do magic to make it happen?
This would be truly an insane, like, world-changing thing, right?
Look, this is literally like, okay, this is breaking the laws of thermodynamics in some way. Unless,
well, I mean, okay, that's what magic is, to be fair, but yes.
Okay. Unless they're taking the energy, right? They could be taking the energy from this mana pool or whatever. But the, sure, like, okay, if we're thinking about the free energy cost, of like, this is a non-spontaneous reaction. They're putting a lot of work in to make this, to make this ethanol go back into glucose.
Right.
You can do so much. You can do so, this is crazy. This is crazy. There should be, forget potions. We're just doing cool reactions for free now.
Right. I mean, yeah, for sure.
Do you see?
But you have to do like a bunch of lame research for this, Dan, though.
Yeah, but the research is so much faster when you're like, hey, we need to make this new anti-cancer drug.
Truly so much faster.
It's just like, oh, this is the reaction. If I can think it, then I can make it happen.
Okay, here's the question. Do you think that he like has to know the reaction mechanism? Or is he just like, I want to go from this to this?
No, I think they have to know the reaction mechanism, which is why I think they're not doing this with a bunch of stuff, which is why I think they need to take some organic chemistry classes, because if that's all you need to do, like, we know a lot of those now.
We know. Okay, but here's the other thing. Let me add to this.
Mm-hmm.
We know a lot of these reaction mechanisms, so that's easy. Hey, I'm not sure about the reaction mechanism. Let me just test it really quick. Oh, it wasn't that way. Okay, let's try this other way. Oh, that one didn't work either. Oh, give me like 3 hours and I know like so much about how something reacts.
The speed of chemical research is insane in this world. You're right. But I don't think that was one of the classes that was offered, unfortunately. So,
no. That's at one of the better schools.
Right. Right. Yeah. Too bad.
Too bad. Really, man.
Yeah, this is the school for the burnout rich kids that couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
But they just have enough money that they get to go to school.
Do you think actually that there's... Okay, so there's magic school, which is what we're at right now.
Yeah.
But then there's got to be normal school, right? For the non... like, yeah, for the for everyone else.
Does there, though? Because, like, that would be expensive too, right?
I mean...
And if you had the choice, Luke, be real right now. If you had the choice between... Maybe it costs 20% more to go to magic school.
I'm probably saving up. Yeah.
You're not going to normal school. This normal school's out of business.
We just need... I need an explainer on how this society works. Honestly, this is the problem.
Right.
Because,
we tried...
like, are there public schools?
It doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it, but you gotta have public schools, folks.
If you want a democratic society, you gotta have public schools.
You gotta go. You gotta do it. It just, the benefits are so high.
They're amazing. They're amazing. But yeah, I don't know, Luke.
And we gotta see what I was gonna go with is at these non magical schools, is that where chemistry is taught? Because we gotta combine the two.
We need magic and chemistry, please.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's a lot of potential here, folks.
The people in the regular school, the professors who are doing chemical research, have been trying to partner with the magical school for years, and they're like, they just won't answer my email.
They've been begging them, and all they want to do is make potions. They just want to do weird potions, and it's like, please, I need help. There is no technique to find this mechanism.
We could make so much progress.
Help us. This is the Harry Potter conundrum, though, where they have all this amazing abilities and they just leave the normal people to, like, get cancer and die.
Right. You got to, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would get too needy.
They would get dependent, and that's just annoying.
It is. It is.
Well, anyway, Luke, like I said, we needed to have a little bit of organic... a little bit of chemistry talk now that we're both
right
doctors. So
that's, yeah.
That's how we earn that. That's how we earn that paycheck, Luke.
We got to have a little bit of it in every episode.
That's right. That's right. Well, Luke, we're going to see what happens. We'll see if the loop ends next week.
Yeah.
Cause we're going to wrap this up. We will. Oh wait, hold on before we get there. Don't forget, we're watching the first season of The Three Body Problem for, I think, 2 weeks from now.
Yes. I believe it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Give that a watch. And then join us next week where we're going to finish Mother of Learning. We'll bring the hot takes.
And be the dumb nerds.